This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. We've just found out where the Murrumbidgee region is, and that's down Southland. Congratulations, they had a two-day congress.
Good on them for running that down there. Relatively happy, 10 tables in both events. It was supported well enough to make it worthwhile.
So they had a teams event and a peers event.
The teams was won by the Somerville team. I can remember that match. It included Anne Somerville, surprisingly, Kevin Skoropada, Murat Gink, and Bradley Johnston.
And appears was won by Matthew McManus and Sam Coots.
There was also the Topo Swiss Pairs, which they always run over 2 days. Starts at 1 o'clock on the Saturday, 4 10-board matches on the Saturday and 3 10-board matches on the Sunday. That's quite a few boards for a 5A, but if you're going to be there for 2 days, you might as well make it worth your while, mightn't you? What a nice place to stay. The winners were Ken and Kathy Yule.
Oh, cool.
Very and nice. They beat Ellen Morris and Michael Ware in second place.
That's good. He got close to almost doing a double, Barry.
He did. Well, a double. But what's the double?
Two pairs in the same month.
Oh, okay. Another pairs event. Yeah. I think he was sort of talking about match point pairs.
Match point pairs, yeah.
Everything used to be match point pairs. We never used to have much in the way of Swiss pairs. So yeah, match point pairs is what usually your local club has scored that way. Although we've been running a few Swiss pairs at the club in Hamilton, haven't we? Well, you and I have.
Yeah.
Seem to be really popular. People love them.
Yeah, that is right. So we've done Tuesday afternoon session, Friday morning afternoon session, and Thursday night is about to start Swiss pairs. That's pretty cool.
A bit more hard work, and if you're a smaller club, it's quite hard to run because you really, I would suggest, 9 or 10 tables really to make it work. It's a fun format. If you're leading, you're at table 1, and if you're at table 10, well, you're not doing so good, are you?
A restricted pairs 8B on the weekend at Howard. That was won by Alex Meyer and Lysandra Zing.
There was an 8B on Thursday. Lysandra Zing won that as well with Jack James, of course.
Of course. Good old Jack Arori.
Hardly a week goes past. I don't know if he had his green jacket on or not.
Don't those young guns look sharp in the green jacket?
They do. So anyway, Mariana's recording from Hong Kong, of course. They're talking frosts this week in New Zealand. Got the fire going tonight.
No need for a fire here.
What did you say? Crispy goose, was it, for lunch?
Crispy goose, yes. One of the ladies that I play bridge with here in Hong Kong, we went out to an authentic Chinese restaurant for lunch today. They specialize in crispy goose. They have a whole lot of other things. Yeah, not for me, but I did try it. It was very nice. There were a lot of strange things walking past my table, I can tell you that. And I was looking at it thinking, I'm glad I'm not eating it.
Glad I'm not having that.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you scheduled to play a session soon or what's
happening? Yeah. Wednesday's the next session. I got something to do with the family tomorrow morning. This session's a bridge. Morning, afternoon and night, Monday to Saturday. And there's one club that does an afternoon on Sunday. But you can play bridge 3 times per day, 6 days a week over here.
Wow. Sounds like some people's idea of heaven. You haven't had a game yet.
2 more sleeps to my next game of bridge.
So what's the name of the club that you're going to?
The Ladies Recreational Club. So they play Chicago Bridge on the Wednesday and Duplicate on Friday.
Oh, okay.
But there's other bridge clubs that offer sessions of bridge and you just pick which one you go. But I normally only play at the Ladies Recreational, although I have played over at Kowloon before.
So how are the lessons at the Hamilton Bridge Club getting on without you? Have you heard?
Haven't heard. Don't want to know.
I'm sure they're doing well.
But I'll tell you something. I got this email and I'm changing hats, people. I'm putting on my hat as NZ Youth Coordinator. I got this email from our friend, AJ, down in Lower Hutt, who takes the lessons at the Hutt Club. And he said to me, I want you to have a look to see if I have the youngest affiliated bridge player in New Zealand. And I said, okay. So he gave me her age. Of course, I've got access to a database. And I couldn't find a player younger than the the lass that he's got down in Loha. This wee one, she has finished the lessons, and on the very first night that they played a normal session with a buddy, she came top, north, south.
Wow.
Oh, no. So now you can ask me how old she is.
Oh, I'm going to have a guess.
Okay.
I reckon I'll get this right.
Okay. Why?
I'm going to say 11.
Nope.
Oh, am I too old?
You are way too old.
Oh, okay. 9.
Nope. Considering
you're kidding me.
We have an 8-year-old at our lessons, Barry.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yep, we do. And his name is Scott. And his older brother, who's 13, he's also attending the lessons. And his name is Barry.
Well, he sounds like a good guy.
Well, this wee lass is 7.
Oh, wow.
I know. She is 7 and she's already come first in their buddy session. So she learnt with her mum. And they're quite happy to advertise the fact it's going to be quite a special thing. And at Hutt, they have a graduation night. All the people from lessons get presented with a certificate, and it's made a big hoo-ha about it. And I think that's great. 7.
I do. That's very good. And 7 years old. Tell you what, you'd really soak up the knowledge, wouldn't you, at the age of 7? It'd be like learning how to eat breakfast, wouldn't it?
Well, our young fella, Scott, at our lessons, so he's there with his older brother Barry, his mum and dad. He's onto it more than the other three. He's telling them all what they do right and what they do wrong. He's really cool.
That's almost, you know, they're almost in the super youth category, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It's good. So she's not going to play competition. She's just going to be happy to stick around on the club night. How cool is that? Hopefully the chair will be able to be present at this graduation. It's a special occasion for the club, and she's a fully affiliated member.
At the age of 7, so I don't know. I wonder if anybody else around the country's got anybody that's, you know, well, anybody younger than a teenager would be interesting.
Well, I know up at Pai here, Jane Stern, she's got an 8-year-old. Hamilton's got an 8-year-old, but we can't beat 7. It's extraordinary, but anyway, fingers crossed. No pressure on the wee one, which is great. She can play as much as she wants at the sessions. AJ is over the moon with how well she's doing.
Yeah, I reckon if you started playing when you were 7, it would have helped.
I believe so. Ifayakine. Coming up next, it's time for the Gin Club. That's juniors, intermediates and novices, and our man on the spot, Mr. Gin himself. It's Ross Longney.
Hey, Mr. Gin, I can see the shape you're in.
How are you today, Ross?
Morning, Mariana. I'm well. And how are you over there in Hong Kong at the moment, isn't it?
I had to give up on our normal recording time, listeners, of 8:30, because that would have been 4:30 in the morning over here. And I love the bridge zone, but not that much.
Morning, Barry. How are you?
Good, good.
You didn't go down to Taupo on the weekend?
No, too many open homes to do.
Too busy. That's good. Good to hear. My word, there were a lot of tournaments on with the Gin Club members involved, that's for sure. The Thursday afternoon Auckland pairs online, the top intermediate pair there were Deirdre Oliver and her partner. Deirdre from East Coast Bays, of course,
yes,
Barry.
Of course.
And who was your partner?
Well, I didn't really want to say it, Mariana, but it was actually me on this occasion that she carried across the line. Hastings Junior was a good tournament. Thank you. Hastings Junior, two-session tournament. Corbin Titter from Taradale and Craig Barrett from New Plymouth. Now, we have mentioned Corbin quite a lot because he's one of the best juniors in the country at the moment.
I've mentioned Craig Barrett a couple of times too, of course, because he was an international athlete for New Zealand.
Oh, I didn't click that it was the same man. Yeah, he's more famous than you and I'll ever be, Barry.
That's not very famous, is that right?
Howick Restricted was a very nice tournament, really nicely run by Karina. And that was won by Alex Mayer, again, from East Coast Bay, Zakarana, one of our favourites, and the local, Lysandra Zeng, who had her second tournament win for the week, local but playing under the Akaroa banner. Top intermediate pair there were Pat Williams and Rose Marish from Howick. Going right up north, Kirikiri Dolphin Pairs. Winners there were Ian Berrington from Akarana and Fisher Wang from Paihia. I've got the intermediates and juniors from there. Laurie Brockless and Jane Bloom, top intermediate pair, and Sandy Maihi and Anne Lovitch, all of those from Whangarei. Matamata Junior looked like it was a good tournament. Two-session junior tournament, 13 tables, which is pretty good for juniors. The winners were Anna Downey and Amy Sue. So,
both from Hamilton. They're doing well in that division.
Yeah, ups to them, yeah. Matamata also had a novice one on the same day, which was a one-session tournament, and that was won by Pam Peterson and Kath McPhail, both from Matamata. They scored a 71.25%. Wonderful result for them. And the big one of the weekend was Richmond All Grades with 18 tables. The winners down there were Phil Rutherford and Ray Curnow. And they're both from Westport. So Westport's really been in the news lately with their results. They did a stratified group. So stratified in group two were Joe Gear and Wendy Coburn. Two pairs from Westport's winning each section. That was pretty neat.
It was.
I don't know if you know, Phil and Ray do a weekly roundup on local events on Bridge every Saturday morning on the radio. They've been doing it for quite a number of years. It's about 15 minutes, I think.
Okay, well, they'll be able to talk a lot this week because they just won a tournament.
They probably won't mention that.
That's the nature of Ray. Of course, he's a very humble guy, like you, Barry.
So what's up this week for the Ginnies?
A fair amount on, actually. Gosh, there's East Coast Bays Intermediate. The big one, of course, is Canterbury Congress, where there's open team, intermediate teams and pairs. Motueka Intermediate, Te Awa Mutu 3A Restricted, Whangarei McGoldrick Law Intermediate and Junior, and Horowhitu Hutt and Otago all have junior tournaments on. So tons of opportunities for the Gin Club members to get out and about this week. Kalikati Intermediate and Parapara Umu Intermediate, as well as three open tournaments in Hutt, Te Anau and Tauranga. So there's no reason why anybody should be staying home and doing gardening this weekend, Mariana.
Yeah, get out and play some cards.
Talking about playing cards, I had an interesting bidding sequence at the Howick Restricted, and maybe you could just put it to Judge Julie, because I thought it was quite fascinating. The dealer on my right opened one heart. Now, I had a good hand, 18-odd points, and a good stop in heart, so I doubled. Left-hand opponent went two clubs. My partner asked what that was. They're playing two over one. It was game forcing. Okay. She bid two spades. The opener bid three hearts. Now, I'm looking at my hand, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to double three hearts. But because it's game forcing, I thought, I'll wait till they go four hearts. So I passed, and blow me if the opponent on my left didn't pass what was supposed to be a game forcing bid. And, of course, my partner passed it out. So we had the director over, Kevin Hu, who's a really nice director, and he took each of us over into the corner and had a chat with us. We lost a board because we took so long. I'm sure Kevin made the right result, but I'm sure other people would be interested in hearing what Judge Julie has to say about that one.
Well, we'll get to test her knowledge on two over one, or maybe not. It's nothing to do with that. I'm sure she'll have something to say. Yep.
If the bid was declared game forcing and then the person who did the game forcing bid doesn't bid again, what's the situation? So that's really all I have for this week. Lots of bridge this weekend. And even on Thursday this week, there's an open tournament at Putaruru.
Are you heading down for that, Ross?
Yeah.
I have played in that tournament. They do a great job, the Putaruru Bridge Club.
8B.
Yep. It's a long time since I played there.
We're actually going over to Waitomo to play on Wednesday night in our club.
In your third club, that's right.
It probably should be known as the East Coast Bays of the Waikato.
It should be. It would be most appropriate, yeah. We'll enjoy that because they're great people over there. We'll have a lot of fun. So I'll tell you about it next week and I'll send you a photo for the scrapbook, Mariana.
Oh, yeah. Catch up with us next week. The Gin Man leads you out with the Gin Club motto.
Observer omne neminem time. Respect all, fear none. Have a good week. Light it and
send it out. Send it out now. Next up, we're at the courthouse.
Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can.
Good morning, it's the bailiff this week.
Okay, so we had a question. Well, it came from our junior intermediate novice correspondent. We had a sequence where I'm going to test you on your two over one knowledge here, Patrick, maybe.
Well, I've seen how badly my teammates play with it. So I haven't really learnt it myself.
Anyway, they opened one hat. The next person had like an 18 count, but decided they were too good to overcall one no trump, presumably. So they decided to double. And the next hand bid two clubs. They were playing two over one game four. So as you'd be well aware, of course, Patrick, this is showing an opening hand with clubs.
Well, I don't know. Does that still apply over the double, Barry?
Well,
you're the one to tell me that because you play it.
Well, it certainly does for us. I'm not saying that's compulsory when you play two over one to do what I do.
Okay, right.
Okay. So they bid two clubs, and his partner now bid two spades. He must have been smelling a rat by now. The next hand, they bid three hearts, and they really want to double this, which suggesting penalties. Decided, well, there was no need to do that because they were going to bid on. So he passed. To his horror, the hand on his left, which he thought had game force, now passed.
So the question is, did he ask about that? Or was it alerted? Let me get this off and straight. The opening was one heart, you said?
Yes.
So it's gone one heart, double from him, two clubs, two spades from his partner. Ah, right, yes. That makes more sense. Then three hearts from the original opener. It's at this point, does he know that his opponents are playing two over one? Or did two clubs get alerted? Did it get described as game forcing?
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it, Mariana? We didn't ask, and we should have done. He basically just said they were playing two over one.
That's an interesting point, because you see, when you first brought it up, I said, does that still apply over a double?
Yes.
Was two clubs alerted? Because it would have to be alerted as game forcing if they play that. Just the fact that your opponents know what you're playing doesn't mean that you stop alerting things. That, like, if you're playing transfers, you don't say, oh, my opponents know we're playing transfers, so I'm going to stop alerting transfers. So was two clubs alerted? And if it was alerted, did he ask to check that?
I don't believe it was alerted.
Oh, right. So you see there's lots of things about this story, isn't there?
The two clubs should have been alerted if it was game forcing, is what you're
saying.
Well,
obviously, the normal thing. Like Julie and I, we have to alert. We go one heart past two clubs. We actually play it as non-forcing. It's constructive. And it's not often passed, but it can be. So that surprising to the opponents. You play something different, you alert it. The same thing if you play a game forcing two club response there, it's alerted because it's different. And the same thing, just because you think your opponents know what you're playing, you don't stop alerting. So
I mean, interesting, if two clubs in this situation isn't game forcing when they're playing two over one,
no,
you could almost argue that it should be alerted then as well.
Right. So if, for instance, two clubs in this situation was normal in that it was like showed values and was just a one round force, then most people would regard it as normal and would therefore not be alerted. You wouldn't say, oh, my opponents know that we're playing game forcing and this is different. So therefore, that's too hard to work with, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
So if two clubs was alerted, if he asked two clubs as game forcing, then there is an issue. Like there's several ways this could go. For instance, the partner then could get unauthorized information from hearing the explanation, knowing that they're treating it as game forcing when it's not. And also, if it turns out that you're told it's game forcing and it's not, then you've been given the wrong information. So you should be saying, if I've got the right information, I'll do something different. They'd actually have to prove to you that it was still game force in their methods and you got the right explanation. So lots of different ways this could go. So as you can see, you've got to make sure you know all the information when you make a ruling. It's amazing when people are interested in a ruling and they speak to you after a session, I frequently get someone come up to me and say, I didn't want to call you, but da-da-da-da-da, this happened. And it's amazing how many holes there are in their stories. In this case, there's a hole in your story, Barry. Sorry about that.
Okay, well, it's great to have the bailiff here to clear things up for any listeners, you know, because that's made it as clear as mud.
Sorry about that. It's an interesting situation, but we need more information.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
I've texted the gin man and asked him if the two clubs was alerted. He hasn't responded.
And if they asked and got told it was game forcing. Just because it's alerted, assuming you know why it's been alerted and then carrying on, quite maybe he was alerted as being non-forcing. Who knows?
As it happened, the hand, if that's what they were playing, it would have been an excellent bid. They had like a long club suit and about 7 or 8 points, apparently. That clearly didn't think it was game
Well,
forcing.
yeah, it's possible you might play that over a double. I don't know.
Okay.
Thank you, Patrick. Maybe we'll have number two in this series next week with
next
a bit more
week,
information.
Yeah, version two with all the information.
Well, it'll probably be the judge next week, I imagine. So I'll tell her all about this failed attempt at a ruling.
Thank you, Patrick. You've been as helpful as ever.
Right. Okay. All right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's really awesome, yeah.
Okay, let's look at tournaments. Our Swiss Pairs running online starts when? June. It's midweek, Wednesday. Judge Jawley's going to be the director. Let's have a look at what the numbers look like, Barry.
That will be very interesting. I will have a look. Looks like we've got a few tables.
Already? That's cool.
Blimey, we've got 16 tables, 15 and a half tables.
Already?
Nice. Yeah, that's really good.
Phil Revel and I are planning that.
Are you entered?
Yeah. Have you entered?
Oh, yes, you're entered. You're in. I have to say, we were the first ones entered.
Oh, my goodness, Barry. How about that?
Do you think we'll get a special prize for that?
It could do.
Maybe you might bring me some crispy chicken, crispy goose or whatever it is, home for a prize.
Hey, while we're here, do you have a tip for us this week?
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away.
I have a little group that I talk to once a week, and this week I was talking to them about what system they play over the opponent's one no trump.
Right.
And people were asking me, like, there's a right or wrong answer to that. And I said, Brosel, Crowbar, Landy, Lionel, Suction,
yeah.
Notrab. I named about six or eight systems. They all looked at me like I was speaking in some sort of foreign language.
Yeah.
There are so many things you can play. Oh, Don't was another one. Somebody's playing Cappelletti and they wanted to learn Don't. And somebody was saying, oh, no, Don't's not as good as something else. And everybody's got their favourites. And what I was really trying to say to them is whatever you play, just agree it. And even when you actually asked them what they play, some of them didn't know. And I said, what does two hearts show? And they said, oh, it shows some hearts, five or more hearts. I said, what? So it could be 2 points. Oh, no, it's 10 plus. And I said, oh, it could be 28 points. And they said, oh, no, it couldn't be 28. You have got a system. It probably shows something like 10 to 15 points and five plus hearts.
You're saying just formalize
it. Nobody's actually defined what it was. And that was one of my things that I've talked about before on there. That's why it's a good idea with the person that you play with regularly is to fill out a simple system card. Most clubs will have a system card. It's a good idea to just go through. One of the things it'll have on there is what do you play over the opponent's no trump? And you can say that you're playing Crowbar or Suction, yes, or whatever the heck it is, or Landy, and put those things down. What was interesting is I had a room full of people, and when I was asking them what things meant, people that played together regularly thought they knew what they played, but one of them thought one thing and one of them thought another. So, it's a good idea to fill out that system card. And, maybe just before you're due to play a session of bridge with them, have a quick look at the system card as a bit of a reminder. What does it mean if your partner jumps to two hearts over one diamond?
That's a good idea.
I asked this question. What if you open one diamond and it goes past and your partner bids two spades? What does that mean? Mm. When I asked what it meant, I got about six different answers. Some of them thought it was strong, some of them thought it was this, some of them thought it was that, some of them thought it was weak. So two things. One is, because I keep on telling you that everybody should know what happens if they get doubled in one no trump. They still play stamen, whether they still play transfers, where everything's the same. What does redouble mean? What does a bid mean? All that sort of stuff. But I haven't talked about what you do when the opponents open one no trump. And I mean, I didn't even get on to what happens if you double the opponents. So this is a good question to ask your regular partner. If you double the opponents in one no trump and the hand on your left runs to two of a suit and one of you doubles that, what does that mean? Is it penalties or is it takeout? And I'm not saying there's a right answer or a wrong answer. I guess it's probably more widely played in strong bridge circles as takeout, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's right. If you and your partner want to play it as penalties, that's absolutely fine by me, as long as you know it.
Okay.
Well, that's the end of the sermon. You said you wanted a tip.
That's a good tip, though, because, how many people remember?
Something that comes up quite regularly. you're going to play bridge, you can pretty much rest assured if you're playing 24 boards, at some point in the 24 boards, somebody's going to open a no trump against you.
Yep.
It's not like it never happens, is it?
Mm. Well, I did that the couple of weeks ago. Opponents open one no trump and my partner bids two diamonds. And I'm so used to playing Landy. They came round to me and to my right-hand opponent. They said, what does that mean? I said, oh, partner's holding a six-card major and it's 10 to 15.
Oh, so you're not playing Landy, you're playing multi-Landy.
Multi-Landy, sorry.
As an ordinary Landy, two diamonds would be natural.
Yeah, so it was multi-Landy. And so I explained to them and then I was sort of looking and they were about to bid and I went, oh, hang on, sorry, I got it wrong. I said, it is natural. We're only playing two clubs, Landy, and diamonds, hearts, and spades are natural.
So that's normal Landy that you're playing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether it's called normal. What do you call it?
Simple
Landy. Standard Landy? Yes. I think you just call it Landy.
Two clubs, both majors.
Everything else is natural and 10 to 15 points?
That's right. Yeah, they let us play in two diamonds, making, which was good. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't know why you said that.
It was lucky you didn't bid two hearts, wasn't it?
It was.
I don't know where you'd have gone from there. Partner might have put you up to three hearts, thinking you had a whole lot of hearts.
It would have been diabolical. I'm not too sure whether my partner let out a sigh of relief.
I've got a question for you, though. Did they keep a poker face while you were giving this explanation?
Yes, they did.
And they were, congratulations to your partner.
Yeah,
there are lots of people that just cannot resist looking horrified or taking in a gulp of air.
Good.
Or that was excellent. Well done them.
Yeah.
They got their reward when you finally passed.
Yeah. I'm glad I corrected it. Then he would have had to explain the explanation and he would have been right because I was wrong.
Well, we wouldn't have been able to give the explanation, would he? He can't say anything during the auction. He's got to wait till the auction's over.
Yeah, I meant when it's over.
So before the opponents lead, he would have had to say, excuse me, but I think my partner's given the wrong explanation here. Well, it would have got a bit trickier if you'd have actually bid two hearts saying, which major have you got, partner?
Before I actually went to bid, I went, no, that's wrong.
You can make that my other tip for the week. If partner gives the wrong explanation for one of your bids when asked, my tip is sit there, keep your mouth shut, don't make any facial expressions. You should practice trying to look like a fence post and not give any visible signs that your partner has just left the planet. So I hope people realize you cannot say anything until the auction is over and you cannot make any facial expressions, any noises, any indication whatsoever that something's gone wrong. Even though it can be really hard to do, that's one of the things you got to learn for bridge and you just got to hope that you get out of this hand alive.
Well, that's about it for us this week, folks. Take care and we'll see you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.